Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I will be reviewing 1998's Ringmaster. How you guys doing and welcome to the show. This is episode 46 of the I Watch This As an Adult podcast. Today I'm going to be reviewing Ringmaster from 1998, the Jerry Springer movie. A lot of people just call it the Jerry Springer movie. We're like, oh yeah, it's the Jerry Springer movie, but the movie's called Ringmaster. But anyway, I digress on that shit. I always like to talk about the things that I watch this week, and what a week it was, because the biggest thing I watched this week was the season finale of the United States of America. That was the biggest thing I watched this week. All those goddamn idiots storming fucking Capitol Hill. I saw that shit happen. I'm gonna get in depth in this because I want you guys to know that I am not one of those critics. I guess you can call me a critic. I don't know what you would call me, critic, podcaster, because like here I just talk about pop culture. I talk about movies, like older movies from the past. But I'm not going to ignore this and be like, oh, positivity and, you know, let's not think about this and all this stuff. No, this is a big fucking deal and it needs to be talked about. And first off, if you're a Trump supporter, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want your business. Get out of here. Because last week was fucking deplorable. Got these idiots fucking storming Capitol Hill, breaking windows, breaking into elected officials' offices, sitting in their chairs, stealing shit from them, going on to the goddamn Senate hall, taking fucking pictures in the Senate hall, and all this other shit, beating a cop to death. These motherfuckers beat a cop to death with a fire extinguisher. They beat him. These are the people that are supposedly about Blue Lives Matter until Blue Lives get in their face and then it's all bets are off. Okay, I'm coming in hot. I don't give a fuck. I'm coming in fucking hot about this shit. But I'm coming in hot. You're gonna beat a cop to death with a fire extinguisher? Can you? If there was a black guy that did that shit, it was black people that beat a cop to death. All bets are off. The gloves would be off. They'd be like, "Oh, look at those despicable black thugs. Look at those despicable criminals." You know, like they'd be the main ones. But I heard there was somewhere where they said like they tried to make it like the cop died of a heart attack. They tried to spin this into the cop dying of a heart attack. I read that somewhere. And I was like, you spin cycle motherfuckers. It's just like the lady that they spoke to that said she got maced, but she had a fucking onion in her fucking hand. She's like, oh my god, they maced me. And you can see the goddamn onion in her fucking hand. She had it in a fucking towel or napkin or whatever the fuck she had. You know, like, she had it there. And it was like, these people, on one hand, I'm glad it happened. On one hand, I'm disappointed that it happened. I'm not shocked that it happened, but I'm disappointed that it happened. You know, but in one way, in another way, I'm glad that it happened because you got to see the faces of all these racist motherfuckers. That's the only reason I'm glad it happened, because you got to see the faces of all these racist motherfuckers. You're like, they got to go. They got to fucking go. All this Proud Boys, deep state, Southern Trump rally bullshit. And not even Southern, there's people from all over. You know, like, there's Trump supporters everywhere. We're not just gonna delegate it to the deep South. We're not just gonna delegate it to the South. There's Trump supporters in the East Coast. There's Trump supporters in the Midwest. There's Trump supporters on the West Coast. You know, I heard somebody say there's Trump supporters in Canada. For some reason, I'm like, I read that, I was like, what? Trump supporters in Canada? I'm like, this is not even your fucking country. How are you? You know? And I was like, all those guys, like, everybody that was in that goddamn Capitol Hill that fucking started an insurrection, that participated in an insurrection, because that's what it is. It's a fucking insurrection. It's fucking treason. You went against your own goddamn country, and you went against people that were elected officials for this goddamn country. Like, you broke into a fucking Capitol, you broke into a fucking federal building. It's a government building. You broke into a government building and vandalized it. All these people need to be, prosecuted to the extremest amount of the law. The most extreme amount of the law. They need to be punished. They need to be punished. And I'm not even talking about you need to get Trump too. Get Trump. Get Ted Cruz's bitch ass. I live in the state of Texas. I know, but I live in the state of Texas. But, like, I hate that motherfucker. He needs to go. Get Josh Hawley, who was, like, egging this shit on. Get him. Get all these motherfuckers that were egging this shit on. Get Donald Trump for making this shit happen. Get Rudy Giuliani talking about combat, talking about trial by combat. Get that fucking goblin looking motherfucker. Get him. And, like, they all need to be put in front of a firing squad and gunned the fuck down. That's what they need to do. They need to get all of them, put them in front of a firing squad, and gun them the fuck down. That's what needs to happen. They need, like, spray them all. Spray everybody that was involved in this shit. Everybody that fucking instigated this shit. Spray them all. I know a lot of people are, oh my god, that's so fucking extreme. But no, that's what happens to fucking traitors to a country. They get murdered. They get executed. That's what happens to traitors. Okay? I'm not standing for the shit. Okay? If I was the president, all the motherfuckers would be executed. All the motherfuckers would be dead. That's all I'm saying about that. Moving on to something a little bit more calming. You know, I watched the Tiger Woods documentary last night. on HBO. Man, it's not as fascinating as The Last Dance, because I think The Last Dance was, like, the greatest, like, what, 8-part, it was like a 10-part documentary, greatest 10-part documentary I've ever fucking seen. I always go back to it. Even I've watched The Last Dance, like, at least 5 times now. I've watched The Last Dance at least 5 times. But this one, it's okay. We're on now part one. I don't know how many parts it is. That's another thing. I don't know how many parts this, because, like, this part one, I think there's a part two next week. I don't know how many parts this documentary is gonna have. I should have looked it up. But I hope it's 2 parts, because I don't wanna sit through 10 parts of Tiger. I don't wanna sit through 4 parts of Tiger. I don't think, other than the broads. And I think, like, the drunk driving and shit, I don't think Tiger's that interesting. And I don't think Tiger's that interesting to make like fucking even like 3-4 parts about Tiger Woods. You know, 2 parts. If next week is it, I'm cool with that. Cause that's when they're gonna get into the most juicy shit. Cause this episode, they just got into Tiger's upbringing. They talked about the relationship between him and his dad. They talked about the relationship between him and his mom. They talked about how he got into golf. I'm gonna save. There's somebody on here I'm gonna save for later. They just went through his career and his rise to stardom. You know how most of this shit starts. There were a couple of people on here. There's one in particular. I actually watched this documentary with my wife, and both of us were like, "Why is this person here?" I'm a little bit lenient about it, but my wife was like, "No, why is this person here?" You know, but they had one of Tiger Woods' ex-girlfriends on the documentary. She was like his high school into like maybe I think college girlfriend. She's like, they met in high school. I think they met when they're like 15 years old. And she was his girlfriend. And she really got on my goddamn nerves. She really got on my nerves. I forgot her name. I think her name was like Dina something. But yeah, man, she got on my nerves. Cause she was trying to act like she was gonna be there for, I'm gonna call him Kobe. Shit. She tried to act like he was there. She was there for Tiger. I almost called Tiger Woods Kobe Bryant. What the fuck? Rest in peace, Black Mamba. We coming up on that anniversary. She tried to act like she was there for Tiger, but like really she was gaming him. She knew there's a lot of girls out there that will act like they for you, but they really gaming you. You know, like you know those type of women. If a lot of guys know those type of women. She acting like she a down bitch. She gonna act like she true to you. She gonna act like she got your back. You know, like you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about nothing, baby. I got you. Don't worry about nothing, baby. But in the background, she's scheming. She a scheming asshole. And that's Tiger Woods' high school girlfriend. Tiger Woods' high school girlfriend was a scheming asshole. You know, I could just look at her. You look at her now. You look at her now and look at the way she dressed. She dressed like a scheming asshole. You know, she was a little blonde head, blue eyed. I guess I don't know. I didn't really look at her eyes all that good. She was a little blonde head scheming asshole. That's what Tiger Woods' ex girlfriend was. And she just mad that she didn't reap the benefits. So that's all she was mad about. She was mad that she didn't reap the benefits, and that's why she owned the goddamn documentary. Moving along, there's also this other guy that was like Tiger's mentor. I think he was like Earl Woods, Tiger's father. He was like his friend on the golf course, and like he was like one of the guys that taught Tiger. And he told the story that he didn't really, I don't know, because like it looked like he didn't really want to tell the story, but he told the story. Because, like, the way he was talking, he was like, fuck, I don't want to fucking talk about this, but, yeah, me and Tiger's dad was running hoes. that was pretty much it. He was like, I don't want to tell this story, but me and Tiger's dad was running hoes. Like, we was running hoes on the golf course. We had a Winnebago, and we going at Winnebago, and we would fuck hoes. You know, pretty much, he was like, I was married, Earl was married, Tiger was there. You know, like he wasn't like in the Winnebago, but he was around and like he see all these females, you know. So yeah, like we was running hoes. Me and Tiger Daddy was out here slaying these hoes. Is pretty much what he was saying. But yeah, just all in all, they were talking about. They were showing Tiger's game. Tiger is. I'm going to give it up to Tiger Woods and say that Tiger Woods. He's one of the most amazing athletes on the planet. he's up there with Jordan. You know, he's up there with Jordan as like one of the most amazing, most focused, most driven like athletes I've ever fucking seen. You know, I know a lot of people are like, my girlfriend is cool. You just standing there. Like, nah, you see what you watch this documentary and you see what Tiger Woods can do with a goddamn golf ball and a fucking what do they call those? I don't really fucking watch golf, but you see what he can do with a fucking 9-iron. You know, you see what he do with that fucking. You see what he do with that. You're gonna be fucking amazed, because as a dude that don't even watch golf, I was like, dude, he's fucking amazing. I don't even know like a couple golfers. I know Jack Nicklaus, I know Phil Mickelson, I know what's the fat guy, the fat blonde guy, what's his name, John Daly, I know him. There's the Indian dude and the Asian girl, what's her name, Michelle Wee. Those are the only like golfers that I fucking know. Like everybody else, I don't really fuck with golf like that. So I don't really fuck with it like that. But Tiger is one of the. He's got to be one of the most amazing athletes I've ever fucking seen. You know, this documentary just proved that shit to me. I was like, this dude's amazing. he's a fucking magician. With what he can do on that goddamn golf course. Fucking magician. But all in all, man, all the real juicy shit that you want to hear about, the fucking, his wife coming after him with the fucking 9-iron, the cheating, the arrests, and like all that shit. They gonna say that for part two. I already know. They coming at the end with like one of his hoes. She just sitting there, and she just opened her mouth one time, and then they just cut it off. And you're like, oh, shit. The shit is about to go the fuck down, and I am watching next week. So, you're like, I'm watching that shit next week. Good Lord. Yeah, but it's a good documentary. It's a good documentary. But another thing, like, they talked about him and his wife, Elin. They talked about that. I think she was a thorough broad, but I'll probably say that for part two, because I'm probably going to talk about part two next week, if I get the chance to. But yeah, man, I'm going to take a break. Be right back after these messages with Ringmaster. Today's episode is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy our show and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and get 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything. Alright guys, welcome back to the show, Ringmaster 1998. You know, I like to start this review off, started off with how I saw this movie as a kid. I actually saw this movie, regrettably, in the theater with my mom, and yes, she was very regretful about it as well. We actually saw this at the, I think I remember, we actually saw this at the Dollar Theater. In the Lakeside Mall. Was it not the Lakeside Mall? Goddamn. The Plaza Mall. In New Orleans East. When they had a... People from New Orleans East know about the Plaza Mall. We saw this in the Plaza Mall. At the Dollar Theater that they had. Which I believe... A couple months later got shut down. You know, like... Because that theater was always, that theater and we had another theater, a bigger theater, I think it was called the East Lake. I think it was called the East Lake. And the East Lake, I think the East Lake shut down first. I think that shut down in 1998. We used to go to the East Lake all the time. I remember going to the East Lake. Like, my dad used to take us to the East Lake all the time. I saw every movie. Mostly every movie I saw as a kid, I saw at the East Lake Theater in New Orleans East. And it shut down, and so you had to go to not Metairie, which Metairie had a theater too. They had a theater in the Lakeside Mall, but I think that shut down too. That theater's not all that good. That theater wasn't all that good as well. What's the other theater? Shit. I'm trying to think of it. We had to go to the Palace. I think it was called. It was called the Palace. It's in I think it was in Harahand. So you had to go all the way to fucking Harahand to see a fucking movie. And then Metairie got a Palace on in the Clearwood Mall. It was in the Clearwood Mall. I remember that. And like they had a theater, so like we would go there. And so like until we had our own grand. It's like the Palace was the Grand, pretty much. If you have a Grand theater, you know about the Grand. Like then we got our own Grand in New Orleans East about like around like 2001, 2002. You know, and that's where we went to go see movies from then on then. But,
we went to go see this movie at the Dollar Theater. I'm trying to remember if this was during the summer or if this was... because I have a younger sister. And in 98, she was 5. I want to say she was like 5 years old in 1998. And I don't think we took her to... I don't think she was in the theater when we saw this. I think she was... I don't know if my mom pulled me out of school. I don't know if this was during the summer. And, like, she was with my... she was with my grandmother at the time, probably. I don't know. But me and my mom saw Ringmaster. And my mom was like a... like, my parents liked Jerry Springer. You know, they watched the Jerry Springer show all the time. They would let me watch the Jerry Springer show, which I'm like, why would you let a kid watch the Jerry Springer show? But kids at my school was talking about the Jerry Springer show. You know, when I was in like, you know, when I was in middle school, and I was like in like seventh grade, we were like, oh shit, you saw the Jerry Springer show? You saw this shit? We talking about the Jerry Springer show. We're like 12 and like 13 years old talking about the goddamn Jerry Springer show. But, like, those were the days. But yeah, like, my mom was very regretful about taking me to see that movie because, like, she saw everything that was going on. Maybe she was just regretful because it's... I'll get into that later, but, you know, but I think it was mostly for the nudity. She always tried to keep nudity away from me for some reason, even though at that time I was, like, 12. I was 12, and I think I had already saw a set of titties, you know, so, like, in real life, you know, like, I had already saw a girl's tits already, you know, like, in living color, in 3D, it, like, right in my face, you know, so, you weren't shielding me from anything. I already saw them titties, but
at that time, but, yeah, this is 98, yeah, it was 98, it was like, middle of 1998, so yeah, I had already saw my first pair of tits. Yeah, but anyway, but anyway, yeah, moving on, let's talk about the production of this movie, if you could call it that. This movie was directed by Neil Abramson, who mostly directed music videos, which 9 times out of 10 is not a good sign. Remember, Hype Williams made Belly. Everybody remember that Hype Williams, Zack Snyder started off music videos. Michael Bay, I believe, started off music videos. And I know like those guys have gone on to do great things. They've gone on to do great things, but they're not the best directors. Let's just say that they're not the best directors. But yeah, so like if you hear that, oh, there's another guy. What's that other guy? Little X. Like, I think, like, the other music video guy, Little X, I think he directs movies, and they're never all that good. So, yeah, first rule, if this guy used to direct music videos 9 times out of 10, he's not a good film director. So, moving on, the movie was written by someone named John Bernstein. I didn't really find any other writing credits, so this was it for... old Johnny boy. The plot, there really is no plot.
there really is no plot whatsoever. The Jerry Springer Show was just at the height of its popularity, and just like anything else that's super popular, they wanted to cash in. That's pretty much it. Like, 1998 was the zenith of the Jerry Springer Show. Because I want to say around, like, maybe 96 is when, like, it started popping off. Because you had other shows. You had other shows that were like this. You had the Morton Downey Jr. Show back in the 80s that was like this. You had the Richard Bay Show. I remember the Richard Bay Show, which I really think that Jerry Springer stole a lot of the stuff that Richard Bay did. He stole a lot of the stuff that Richard Bay did and put it on his show. Because Richard Bay lasted like maybe like 2 seasons maybe. And like, Jerry Springer was just like, let's just do what Richard Bay does. Because Richard Bay was just trash fucking TV. Look up, if you don't remember the Richard Bay Show and you've never seen the Richard Bay Show, look up the Richard Bay Show. It is the precursor to the Jerry Springer Show. Because Jerry Springer was trying to, because at the beginning, Jerry Springer was trying to be like Phil Donahue. And even Phil Donahue could get a little wild at times, but like he was more cordial. He was trying to be like that. Like, he was trying to be Phil Donahue. He was trying to be, even Maury Povich was trying to be Phil Donahue at the beginning. Because Maury Povich was very, very, because he was just coming off of being like a television news anchor. Jerry Springer and Maury Povich, both those guys were like television news anchors. And Maury Povich used to be on a show called The Current Affair. And he was still, at the beginning of the Maury Povich show, he was still doing like a Current Affair shit. You know, like these fucking, because A Current Affair was kind of like Hard Copy, like Inside Edition is now. You know, like they would go in depth on like scams and murder plots and, you know, and like talk to like victims that survive rape or whatever. Like, that's what Jerry Springer and Maury Povich were doing. They were doing that type of shit at the time, and it wasn't getting them any ratings. You know, it wasn't doing anything for them at all. They were trying to be that. They were trying to be it was successful for guys like Montel Williams. It was successful for him. It was successful Oprah Winfrey just went straight like fucking Martha Stewart. You know, like, she just like, I'm just catering to women. That's my fan base. I'm going over there. So like, she just catered to goddamn like housewives and stay at home moms. So that was her demographic. She found her demographic. But yeah, that's but Jerry Springer was really trying to be Phil Donahue, and he saw the Richard Bay Show, most likely, and took everything that Richard Bay did. Partially Maury did that too, but he kind of spinned it, because like, I believe, because like the three most popular things for Maury Povich was like the teenagers that are out of control. It was the lie detector tests, and it's the most popular thing, and I kept blanking on it right now. The paternity test. It was the paternity test, and he like the paternity tests are his goddamn bread and butter. He will never stop doing the paternity test. He don't care how many times these bitches fuck. He don't care how many kids these broads got. Like, they can have like 10 kids from like 10 different niggas. And he don't give a fuck. He's like, come on my goddamn show. I'll find a daddy for all 10 of them motherfuckers. that's Maury Povich. He also did the transvestites. The like you got to find out if they're a man or a woman. You know, like those. He also did those too. He fell away from that. He fell away from the teenagers that are out of control. Because even like Jenny Jones was doing that shit. You remember the Jenny Jones show? I was a talk show fanatic, okay? I was like, I still like talk shows, but not as much, because I got shit to do, so I don't watch as many talk shows as I used to, but, and when I was younger, but yeah, man, but that's what Jerry Springer did. Jerry Springer took fucking Richard Bay shit, and took it to the height of popularity, and that's how we got this piece of trash fucking movie. I'm just gonna come out and say it, like, this movie is a piece of shit. Movie bombed at the box office, didn't even make its goddamn money back. Didn't make its money back. I think it only made like $2,000 or some shit like that. It was terrible. It did not. They didn't have a fucking return. on profits. You know, it bombed. It fucking bombed because nobody wanted to see a goddamn Jerry Springer movie. Nobody wanted that shit. Who said that we wanted a Jerry Springer movie? No one said that shit. This isn't like a critically acclaimed TV show. Even critically acclaimed TV shows don't work out too well as movies. Like Sex and the City got two fucking movies and they're both trash. I'm not really a Sex and the City fan, so like I've watched like a couple episodes and I was like, yeah, this shit ain't for me. But I thought there was gonna be Sex in the City. And I was disappointed when there was no sex in the city. But you know. But anyway, I haven't seen the Breaking Bad movie. I heard mixed reviews on that. I really don't watch movies based on TV shows. I really don't. But except the Power Rangers movie, and if you haven't listened to my Power Ranger movie review, go check it out. Shameless plug. But anyway, yeah, like this isn't a critically acclaimed TV show. It's the goddamn Jerry Springer show. You got like fucking, you got fucking hookers on your show. You know, nobody wants to see that as a movie. What the fuck? But you know, you could just watch the TV show. But anyway, let's move on. Jerry Springer plays a fictional version of himself named Jerry Farrelly. I had to look this up, and also it's on his like his nameplate at his desk in the movie. I just noticed that. I was like, wait, why is it? I was looking at that. I'm like, wait, why is his name Jerry Farrelly? Why is he playing a fictional version of himself? And the show is called The Jerry Springer Show. Why are you Jerry Farrelly? And the show is called The Jerry Springer Show. I'm like, what the fuck? Also, he's a terrible actor. Might I add, he's a fucking terrible actor. Half the time, it looks like he doesn't want to fucking be there. In every scene, it looks like they put a fucking gun to his head. Looks like they put a fucking gun to his head so he can fucking act. He doesn't want to be there. You know, but like, Jerry Springer's not in this movie as much. You know, like, he does the show. He has a couple of, like, scenes. A lot of his scenes don't even really mean shit. So the movie like mainly revolves around the Zorzak family, played by Jamie Presley and Molly Hagan, who are a mother and daughter that live in a Florida trailer park. That's what this movie's about. And Jamie Presley is sleeping with her stepfather, and Molly Hagan is the mother who finds out about it, and they pretty much go on a trip to the Jerry Springer show. That's pretty much the plot of the movie. That's pretty much the focus of the movie. The thing that makes me most sad about this movie, goddamn, thing that makes me like cry thug tear, is that they drag two martial arts legends like Michael Jai White and Michael Dudikoff into this trash. You know, poor Michael Dudikoff. Michael Jai White just came off of Spawn, by the way, the year before. And I was like, dude, even after seeing the movie as a kid, I remember, I'm like, dude, why are you in this? Why are you in this, Michael Jai White? You just did Spawn. I was like, it's upside for you. Even though Spawn didn't do well, and a lot of people panned it, like, he could have done something else, because people loved him as Mike Tyson. He played Mike Tyson. Like, 2 years before he did Spawn, he played Mike Tyson, and he wasn't a bad Mike Tyson. I was like, dude, they could have been like, dude, you did one bomb, it's okay, you were Tyson, we gonna give you these good ass roles. But no, he had to go do the fucking Jerry Springer movie. And his career just fucking went down from there. He was in other shit. I mean, like, cause like he was in like the Universal Soldier sequel. He's in a lot of Tyler Perry movies. You know, like, and he did Black Dynamite is really what brought him back to the forefront, really. Black Dynamite, if it wasn't for Black Dynamite, I don't we probably wouldn't be hearing from him again. But I think he could have been a real big action star. I really think Michael Jai White missed his boat. You know, he could have been doing a lot of good, like, fucking action films. You know, that could have been his lane. You know, like, because Michael Jai White's not the best actor. I'm not gonna put Michael Jai White on his pedestal and say he's his greatest fucking actor, but he could have been a great action star. You know, I mean, like, he does these little action films, and they're okay, you know, but I think he could have been on Van Damme level. I think he could have been on, like, Jackie Chan level. I think he could have been on, like, what's my man name? He could have been on Schwarzenegger level, like, Seagal, all those guys. He could have been up there with all those guys. He could have been the black version of those guys. Snipes. I know Snipes. Snipes was out here, too. Wesley Snipes. But he could have been the next Wesley Snipes, is what I'm saying. Like, when Wesley Snipes started falling off, he could have picked that mantle up and ran with that motherfucker. But no, he did fucking Ringmaster. So, that was that. And poor Michael Dudikoff. Michael Dudikoff is a guy. Michael Dudikoff, you know who Michael Dudikoff is? He was in the American Ninja movies. Some of my favorite movies. I love the goddamn American Ninja. But, Those movies are so fucking cheesy, but they're so fucking good at the same time to me. But yeah, man, Michael Dudikoff is a guy that I feel just got fucking fucked over in this business. I know, I feel like he just got fucked over because he got in bed with the Cannon Boys, with Menachem Golan and all the motherfuckers. And like the fucking Cannon Films motherfuckers. He got me. Because they produced American Ninja. They produced all the American Ninja films. Because like they would do a lot of fucking ninja films. They would do Revenge of the Ninja, Return of the Ninja, Ninja 3, The Domination. They did all these goddamn fucking ninja movies. And like he did American Ninja. So like they had like four or five American Ninja movies. You know. I think he's only in like four of them. I haven't watched the American Ninja movies in a while, in like a long while. But I think he's only in like four of them. I think there's like a fifth one, and it's like Steve James, the black guy that was like his sidekick. I think it's him that's in the last one. He takes over as the lead. But yeah, man, he had something going with them American Ninja movies. And like they kind of fucked him over, the Cannon Films people, because he was talking about how they promised him that he was gonna be Spider-Man. They had all these big plans for him, and none of that shit came to fruition. And like I was like, damn man, that sucks, you know. But I gotta give it up to Michael Dudikoff though. I gotta give it up to Michael Dudikoff in this movie, because 45 minutes into this movie, Michael Dudikoff just said fuck it. And he just left, you know. 45 minutes into the movie, Michael Dudikoff is gone. He was like, I am not doing this shit anymore. I'm gone. And like, even his character was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And I was like, that's not his character talking. That's Michael Dudikoff. That's Michael Dudikoff talking. I was like, that's him talking. He was like, fuck this. I'm gone. But anyway, moving on. Another bright spot, if there is any bright spot in this movie, is Wendy Raquel Robinson. Wendy Raquel Robinson, you may know as the principal on the Steve Harvey Show. People might know her as, I think she's like old dude's mom on The Game, too. She's on that, and fun fact, she is my wife's cousin. So, that's another fun fact. That my wife told me, but I was like, what? But anyway, cousin-in-law, I'm sorry. I'm like, she said cousin-in-law. I'm sorry. She's her cousin-in-law. So like, Wendy Raquel Robinson kind of related to me, but in a weird way. But anyway, moving on. But like, yeah, she's actually pretty funny in this movie as Starletta, who is like Michael Jai White's like girlfriend, because like she brings Michael Jai White and her friends on the show, because Michael Jai White is cheating on her, one of her friends. So like she's out here, and like she's actually funny. She actually fucking tries. Like
She's one of the only good things about this movie. Her and Molly Hagen, who plays the mother of Jamie Priestley, they're the only two bright spots in this movie, because like they're the only ones that actually fucking try. First off, you know, and I was like, dude, I don't know why y'all fucking trying this. The goddamn Jerry Springer show, but they're actors and they're doing what actors do. They're fucking trying. I mean, this is like Jamie. Is this Jamie Priestley's first role? But like, I don't think this is Jamie Priestley's first role, but like, this is where like the first role where you kind of like fucking notice her. And luckily, she went on to do better things. You know, I am surprised that some of these actors went on to actually do shit. You know, Wendy Raquel Robinson, she not doing bad for herself. I've seen Molly Hagen in some things. You know, Jamie Priestley was a huge star for a little bit. A lot of people like that. I like to call her the prehistoric Margot Robbie, you know, because I have to say, Jamie Priestley is one pretty white girl. You know, like, she's a beautiful white girl, you know, like, just like Margot Robbie. I'm like, there's just a couple of white girls that I'd be like, yeah, you kind of cute, you know. Like, I'm not really into white women like that, but I'll be like, yeah, man, she kind of cute, but I go for that. But like I was saying, going back to Wendy Raquel Robinson and Molly Hagen, they're the two best parts of this goddamn movie. They're the two bright spots of this movie because they actually fucking try. I feel sorry for every actor in this movie. I really do. I feel real sorry for every actor in this goddamn movie, because this movie didn't have to exist. This movie exists just because the popularity of the Jerry Springer show, and nobody went to go fucking see it. Nobody went to see it. It's like the movie bombed. It's like, I feel like they didn't have to do this, because I felt, like I said, felt sorry for all these actors that they got dragged into this shit. And they were just like, man, I need, because actors are going to be actors, man. Actors are going to be like, yo, man, I'm going to take anything that comes my way. Because that's what an actor does. It's like, it's work. It's work. You know? It's like, that's what actors do. It's like, it's fucking work. It's like, if this stops me from working at the goddamn Piggly Wiggly, you know, I'm going to fucking do it. You know, like, this is my passion. This is what I want to do. This is what I fucking love. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. That's what actors do. You know? So, like, I feel sorry for every actor that got dragged into this shit. You know? Because, like, because this is what I was thinking. I'm like, if they wanted to do a Jerry Springer movie, what they should have done, they should have done a documentary on Jerry Springer. That's another way they should have, that's one way they should have done it. Or they should have done a documentary style type movie, like This is Spinal Tap, or Waiting for Guffman, or Best in Show. You know, like those type. Drop another movie like that. Drop Dead Gorgeous. If you ever heard about that movie, I think that was with like Christy Alley and Denise Richards. Drop Dead Gorgeous. That's another movie that's kind of like documentary style. It's about beauty pageants. They should have did a movie. They should have did it like Drop Dead Gorgeous. And I think that came out around the same time. I want to say I'm not really. I don't know if I have my years right, but I think I'm gonna review that movie. That's one movie that I'm gonna review, because I actually like Drop Dead Gorgeous. I actually thought that shit was funny. But I actually thought that movie was funny. But yeah, they should have did it. They should have done it like that. If you're gonna use actors, you should have did it like a documentary style type movie. And I think that's what they were trying to do, but it failed. It fucking failed. And I feel sorry for everybody involved in this movie. I feel sorry for everybody, every actor involved in this movie. It was like, yeah, but that's pretty much it, man. This movie is just the most unnecessary movie ever. It didn't need to exist. So for that, I give it a 0 out of 5. That's it. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at I Watch This As An Adult. If you want to keep up, don't forget to rate and comment on Apple Podcast. Don't forget to download. Also, downloads help me out good. And also, if you wanna scoop me a little something, go donate on Radio Public if you like what you hear. So, until then. Oh, next movie I'm going to be reviewing. Next movie I'm going to be reviewing is 2004's The Perfect Score, starring Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson. So that'll be the next movie I'm going to be reviewing. Until then, see you guys next time. Peace.